I'm gonna tell you a story now. But as any good storyteller knows, one must first be sure the audience is prepared. Is everybody comfortably seated? Does anyone need to use the bathroom? Oh, you, sir, in the back? Well, hold it in.
Now, where to begin? How about once upon a time?
How many times have you heard that to begin a story? Let's do something else. I got it.
Oh, no, not the book.
How many have seen opening the book before? Close the book. We're not doing that.
Okay, let's get this over with. Three little kittens loved to play. They had fun in the sun all day. Then their mother came out and said, "Time for kittens to go to bed." Wow, this is garbage. You actually like this?
Keep reading.
The end. We're going to spend the next few moments focusing on God's word for us today. We're in week 8 of a series that we've entitled Stories. And through this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at the stories that Jesus told to help explain what God is like, what the kingdom of God is like, and how we can better relate to God. Now, through these stories, we've been asking questions and we've been answering them. And the question for today is this: is there a correct way to pray? And is it possible to learn that? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got some good news. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your Bible app on your phone and open with me up to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, and we encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone so that you always got the Bible with you. And even though the word's going to be up on the screen in just a moment, we'd like for you to look to see exactly where it is, because later on, we want you to read what's in front of it and what's behind it so you can see for yourself what the Bible says. Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. The answers will be up on the screen. And when I get down to the bottom, I'll be done and I'll sit down. But you know what? We want you to take these notes. They're useful. You can use them later on this week to fix that table that's just been rocking a little. You just fold this paper up, stick it under the leg. Yeah, you're with me today, aren't you? No, we want you to reread for yourself, to use this as a devotional, to look at what the Bible says for yourself. Now, I want to say hi to those people who are watching online. We're so glad that you're watching with us. We want to know who is watching with us. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now to write your name, who's watching with you, where you're watching from, in the comments below. Our hosts are watching with you right now, and they'd love to greet you. Now, today, right now, during this service, I have some friends who are watching online. They could not be here in person. They wanted to be here, and so they're watching online, and I promised them that if they watched online, we would say hi to them. So I want you guys to say hi to my friends, Mark and Hannah, who are watching online. Let's all say hi to, hey, Mark and Hannah, hey! We're glad you guys are watching, and we can't wait for you guys to be here in person. So Luke chapter 11. What's going on is Jesus is in the middle of his ministry, and he's having some long ministry days, and he usually ends those days by praying. And usually at the end of these days, one or more of the disciples approach him to say, hey, Jesus, that thing you said or that thing you did, and they kind of get kind of a follow-up lesson. And that's what's happening here in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse number 1, and here's what it says. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And with that, let us pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us to understand what it means, that you would challenge us in what we think about it, and God, and that we would change. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. My wife and I, we have 5 kids. And my wife thought it'd be really cool if we named all the kids with the same first letter. And so she picked out the first letter being R because my name starts with R, Ryan. And she thought, oh, that'd be great. And by the time we got to the third kid, we ran out of names to pick. Doctor told us you can't take your baby home without a name. But we managed to find 5 names that began with the R. And as the kids got older and they started talking and expressing themselves, we found that what they called each other wasn't exactly right. You see, our kids are Randon, Regan, Ryden, Riley, Radley. Except as the kids said these names, they would say it like this: Wandon, Wegan, Wyden, Wiley, Wadley. What was the problem? None of my kids could pronounce the letter R. Of all letters, R. They couldn't say it. And so my wife and I, for each one of these kids, we are trying to help them saying, no, it's not Wadley, it's Radley. And they're like, that's right, Dad, Wadley. They couldn't tell that it was wrong or it was different, that it wasn't right. And so eventually, you know what we had to do? We had to ask an expert for help. We went to speech therapy. We had a speech therapist who would come into our home, and the speech therapist knew the right techniques and the right things of how to help them understand how their mouth should be, what it should sound like, where their tongue should be, where their teeth should be, where their lips should be, so they can say it correctly. And because we brought expert help, now our kids call each other Randon, Regan, Ryden, Riley, and Radley, with the R's all said correctly. And in this passage here, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples see that Jesus prays. He prays a lot, and his prayers are really good, and God answers his prayers. And they're like, wow, we need an expert. We need some help here. Now, when we look and think about someone who prays well, sometimes we're like, wow. I mean, maybe you're thinking right now, think you're my someone you know that, like, wow, when they pray, it's like heaven stops. And they just have like the right words and they say it in the right voice. Dear God. You know, like, I don't know, Moses' voice or something. And they just, God hears their prayers and God answers their prayers, and it's like, whoa, you know, we admire them. We'd like to be better at praying. And you know how you can be instantly better at praying? Just copy them. Just say the same things they say. Or, maybe we should go to the source and ask to be taught. You see, the disciples knew that Jesus prayed well, and they asked to learn how to pray. You see, when it comes to praying, pray in the right way. It's not something that's caught. It's actually something that is taught. So Jesus, he was more than willing to help them out, to teach them. And so he spent the next part, what's recorded in this chapter, teaching them what was important about prayer. And he wasn't just teaching it to the disciples who were there. This was for all of us. And so as we go through this, my promise to you is if you'll pay attention, you can up your prayer game today. So let's see what Jesus said. The first thing he said is, he said, this is how you should pray. And immediately he began saying a prayer. And it went like this: Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins. We forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Anyone have an idea what we call this prayer? It's the Lord's Prayer, right? Now, this is the New Living Translation version of it, and you might have like recognized like some of the words were familiar, but you're like, well, that just sounds a little wrong or different or not exactly right, because if you know anything about the Lord's Prayer, you probably have heard it said more like this. And if you know it, say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. But there's a problem. Because if we actually pay attention to what Jesus is trying to teach, the words matter. And Jesus didn't say this prayer. He didn't say that. As if we could say a prayer that's made up of a concoction of special syllabled words that if we say it in the right monotone voice all together, all of heaven stops and God has to do whatever you're asking him. That's not what Jesus was saying. No, Jesus did not say this prayer. Instead, what he said was, this is how you should pray. How, not what you should pray, how. You see, when we pray, Jesus wants us to use his prayer model. You see, all too often when it comes to prayer, we think that praying is about saying the right words at the right time and repeated a bunch of times, saying it over and over. But this model that Jesus was sharing was an example as to the content of what we should be talking to God about. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. In order to get the answer to this question, you might need to cheat a little. So I want everyone to pull out your phone real quick. Hold your phone in your hand. Get out of your purse. Get out of your pockets. Go ahead and hold your phone. You're going to have to unlock it. Look at it. Do the code. And I want to see here by a show of hands, how many of you have your mom's number either as a favorite, a speed dial, or in your recents list? Okay, you can check on your phone and just to see, is mom in my recents? Is she in my favorites? I'm looking across how many hands we got up. Quite a few of you. Okay, awesome. You know, you should talk to your mom often. And if you don't, you should. But I got a question for you. How do you know what to talk to your mom about? I mean, how do we know? What do we talk to our moms about? Well, here's some things that we talk to our moms about. We talk to our moms about the kids, about what's going on, about her health, about your health, how you got hurt, or what's going wrong in your life, what's going right in your life. Sometimes you need mom to just listen, right? Now, if we were to really simplify, what do we talk to mom about? It's simply this. We talk to mom about things that mom cares about and things we care about, right? That's what we do when we talk to mom. And when Jesus was sharing this prayer model, what he's doing is he's saying, I'm giving you a model, I'm giving you a blueprint as to what you should talk to God about. Because in the end, the very simple version is, we talk to God about the things he cares about and the things we care about. Let's see it in this prayer model. In this prayer model Jesus gave us, he said, may your kingdom come soon. You know what that's referring to? It's talking about how Jesus is coming back. And that we have a mission and what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be helping people find God. And we don't know how much time we have left, but we have a purpose. We have a reason for existence. We're supposed to be on mission with it. And so when he's saying, may your kingdom come soon, this is saying you should talk to God. You should pray for the mission. For the mission. We got work to do. This is something near and dear to God's heart. When it says, give us each day the food we need, Jesus is saying you should talk to God about what you need, your provision. Pray for provision, whether it's food, whether it's shelter, whether it's clothing, whatever it is that you need to live, to survive, you can talk to God and pray for provision. Next it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Oh, he's saying you should pray about forgiveness. Like maybe you need to forgive someone or maybe you need God to forgive you, but this is a hot topic that you should definitely talk to God about forgiveness. And don't let us yield to temptation. Jesus is saying, ask God for protection. Pray for protection. So, let me ask you, when it comes to your prayers, have you been copying someone else? Are you using your own words? Do you happen to run out of content, like I don't even know what to pray about? Are you praying for the things that Jesus included in his model? Or to put it in simple terms, are you praying about the things you care about and the things God cares about? Now, that was the first lesson of prayer. First of three, Jesus was saying, here's a model. Here's what to talk to God about. But in order to go on to the second one, what's really interesting is Jesus said, it's story time. I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time. You see, this ends up being the parable of the friend at midnight. And he's using this made-up, make-believe story so that we can understand what it is he wants us to know about prayer. So, pay attention as I summarize this, and I encourage you to go back to Luke chapter 11, read it for yourself, but let me give you the Cliff Notes version of it. Jesus said, one day, once upon a time, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was a guy who had unexpected people show up, guests at his house, and he's like, oh, I have no bread to feed him. I'm going to go to my neighbor's house. I'm going to knock on the door, dun, 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 and ask for help. The only problem was is that when he went to ask for help from his neighbor, it was midnight, the middle of the night. You know where his neighbor was? In bed. He was all tucked in. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, neighbor, I need your help. I need some bread. I got some unexpected guests. Can you spot me 3 loaves of bread? Jesus says that the guy in the house, he's like, hey, I know you want bread, but I'm in bed and I don't want to get up. So go away. Boom, 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 boom. Come on, help me. I need some bread. Get out of bed. This turned into a Dr. Seuss story. The guy said, no, I'm not going to help. It's all snug in here. I've got the covers just right. Finally, my wife's feet aren't ice cold anymore, you know. It's just right. Boom, 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 boom. He wouldn't stop knocking. And what Jesus said is that this neighbor who's in the house, who's in bed, who refused to get up to give his neighbor some bread, he won't do it because they're friends. He won't do it because they're neighbors, but there is one reason why he will do it. Boom, 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 boom. Because the guy wouldn't stop knocking the door. So in order to stop the knocking the door, what did he have to do? He had to get out of bed so he can get some bread so that he can give it and he can get the pounding out of his head. Jesus said that the only way that the guy got what he needed was because he shamelessly was persistent. See, when it comes to prayer, what Jesus wants us to know about prayer is he's saying, don't give up. Don't stop praying, even though you haven't seen it answered, even though it hasn't come to pass, even though it hasn't been answered. Don't stop. Be persistent. Jesus is teaching us to be persistent with our prayers. A few years back when I lived in Kansas City area, it took a team of leaders that I had with me. We went to an escape room. How many here have ever been to an escape room? How many of you know what an escape room is? Well, an escape room is where you pay someone to lock you up for 60 seconds to see if you're really smart, to see if you can figure out puzzles to get yourself out. So either you think you're really good and smart afterwards, or you think you're a failure. But when it comes to an escape room, we wanted to do well, and so we know that we got to find clues, and we're in this escape room, and we found a box that had a lock on it, and there was something inside, which meant that in some part of this puzzle, we would need to open this lock to get what's inside in order to get out. Now, the lock that was on this box was one of those locks that had the three dials of numbers that go 0 to 9, where you click them and line them up to get the combination, which meant that somewhere in this room that we're all locked in is a riddle or a clue with the three numbers that we need in order to unlock the lock, in order to open it up, to get what we need in order to get out of the room. However, I thought about it and I said, do we need a riddle to figure this out? No. We just need to work systematically. And so I grabbed one of the guys on our team. I said, you have a new job. You're going to sit over here in the corner, and you're going to take this lock, and you're going to go to 000, and you're going to try to open it up. Then you're going to go 001 and try to open it up. And if it doesn't open, you're going to go to 002 and so forth and so forth. And he's like, okay, gotcha, boss. I'm on it. And so while we're trying to figure out all the clues, this guy's over in the corner going, click, doom, click, doom, click, doom, click, doom. Kind of monotonous. He's going at it, trying to figure out. And we're partway through the time with our room when all of a sudden this guy comes to me. He's like, Pastor Ryan, I can't do this anymore. I got to stop. Can someone else please take over for me? I'm like, really? Well, how far did you get? He's like, man, I did it for a long time. I got to 100. Okay, how many combinations are there possible roughly with three dials that have 0 through 9? 1,000. He did 10% and he was done. And all I could think in that moment was, you're willing to quit at 100. What if the number is 101? What if that's the combination? It's 101 and you stopped. But I saw he was done. So I grabbed another person on our team and said, you are now replacing him. You're going to sit in the corner. You're going to do it. And this next guy, he knew that he was 10% closer to the answer, right? He didn't have to do the first 10%, but he's going with purpose. And so when he's doing it, he's like, dun, 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 dun. And he's just flying. He's flying. He's going with it. He's doing it. He's going through it. And man, we keep on going after the clues. I'm looking over in the corner. And he's going faster and faster and faster. And he's going. He's going. And all of a sudden, he's like, I got it. He got the combination. It unlocked. And he didn't have to go do 1,000 combinations, but he had to do 347. But he continued on it. He didn't give up because he had hope that there was an answer. He just had to be persistent in order to get it. And when it comes to being shamelessly persistent, what Jesus wants you and I to know, it's found in verse number 9 of Luke chapter 11. He says this, so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Be persistent. So let me ask you, when it comes to your prayers, have you stopped praying about something because you didn't see it answered? Did you stop at 100 not knowing if 101 was the answer? Have you stopped being persistent because you've lost hope? Have you lowered your pace of how you pray, what you pray for, and how you keep on praying? Jesus wants each of us to up our game in prayer by saying, don't give up. Don't stop too soon. Be shamelessly persistent. As Jesus was going on, he was going on to the third thing, and he really wanted to get a point across, and it had to do with parents. But before he talks about parents, I want to talk to you about something as a parent that I'm really concerned about. I thought this thing was in the conspiracy category, but now I've seen it first person, and I'm really scared. It's called Facebook, and it's this ad system they have. That somehow I'm just scrolling through Facebook and an ad shows up. That's something I was talking about the day before. Has anyone else experienced that? Yeah, like things come up like, hey, I wasn't talking to you, Facebook. That was my conversation over here that I was looking at this or that, or I wanted this or that. And it's scary how the ads come up, but that's even not what I'm so much concerned about. I'm concerned about the next level of it that happened to me 2 weeks ago. You see, I'm just scrolling through Facebook. Yeah, there's more ads than normal. But then this ad shows up, and it's an ad for something that I have never seen before. Didn't even know it exists, but the minute I saw it, I knew it was something one of my kids needed, that they would want, they would have to have. And I'm like, wait a second, how did Facebook figure out what I needed to see for my kids? You're actually wondering, like, what is it that you saw? What is it that, I mean, I saw it, I'm like, this is so cool, it's gotta happen, I gotta show it to my son. You know what it was? It was dinosaur chicken nugget pillows. Stuffies. Stuffed animals shaped like dinosaur chicken nuggets. You know, dinosaur chicken nuggets, the best chicken nuggets ever made. You know, the dinosaur chicken nuggets? They've made them into plushies. And when I saw this, I'm like, why am I seeing this? And yet this is so cool. And oh, my son, Ryan, he would love this. I got to show it to him. I showed it to him, and you know what he did? He reached in his pocket, took a wad of cash. He's like, take my money. Please buy me some, Dad. I have to have this. I'm like, son, you're about to go to college. He's like, yes, that's why I have to have it. I can't bring my other stuffies. I got to bring these stuffies. And so because of a Facebook ad, we have... dinosaur chicken nugget stuffies. Didn't know we needed them. Didn't know we wanted them. I didn't know my kid really needed this for college, but it's going in 2 weeks to college as his college decorations. And yet they're that cool, aren't they? They're awesome. Didn't even know that's what we needed. But you know, as fun and scary that it is that Facebook knew we needed dinosaur chicken nugget stuffies. The Bible says that God knows what you need before you even ask. So Jesus is appealing in his third thing about prayer to parents. He's saying, parents, all you parents out there, if your kid asks you something, you're going to give it to them. You're going to help them get it. You're not going to play a prank on them. You're not going to give them the opposite thing. You're not going to be mean to them. You're probably going to figure out a way to get to them. And so Jesus used the example, which must have been highly effective in that culture in that time. He says, if your kid asks you for a fish, which one of you are giving your kid a snake? And I'm like, I don't want the fish. I'm thinking live fish. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a pet fish. I think it's a fish to eat, but it hasn't been cooked yet. I don't know what it is, but you know what? Jesus is pointing out that parents have this sense about them that God has built into them, whether they acknowledge that God exists or not, that we're not going to be super mean to our kids and play pranks. And so I decided last night as I was sharing this message that I would try to modernize it. Because the next example Jesus gives is like, if a kid asks you for an egg, who's going to give them a scorpion? Like, who's going to give them an egg? You know, I mean, so I thought about this. Let's put it in better terms, terms we can understand. So if your kid asks you for a package of fruit snacks, and then I asked the audience, like, what was Jesus describing that you would never give to them? And someone yelled out, broccoli! I'm like, that doesn't work. So then we had to come up with something different. And so we came up with rat poison, right? They're like, oh, here's some pills. Yeah, have fun. They're yummy fruit snacks. Yes. No, we wouldn't do that. If my kid asked me for dinosaur chicken nugget stuffies. I didn't go on Amazon and order him brake fluid. Actually, it'd be better if I got him windshield wiper fluid. No, what do you call it? Turn signal fluid, right? There we go. There we go, yes, blinker fluid. That's what I was looking for. You know, Jesus saying, parents, this is already built into you that you would give good gifts, that you would take care of your kids, that you're not, if they need something, if they want something, you're not going to be like, I'll show them. You know, our God is not Loki, the God of mischief. No. Jesus is pointing out, saying, if parents, even parents who don't know God, know how to give good gifts, imagine what the God in heaven who created you, who loves you, who sent his son to die for you, imagine what he has for you. And Jesus then says, and he already knows what you need before you ask. Better than Facebook. And so what Jesus wanted us to know, the third thing, was that he wants us to pray with confidence in whom we are asking. That we are asking the God of the universe who knows everything, who can do everything, who can be everywhere. We're saying, I'm praying to you for help. That we can have confidence that he's not going to play a prank on us with whatever we're asking and turn it and flip it around. No, we can pray in confidence to whom we are asking. And so if we're going to up our prayer game, if we're going to get better at praying, if we're going to go to our next level in regards to prayer, we really need to resolve today, we need to decide today to do it differently. And if we were to take that resolution and we were to put it into a statement that we could each say ourselves, it might look something like this. It's in the blue box on your notes, and it says that I will pray the way Jesus taught. Not the way I saw, not the way I caught, the way Jesus taught. And we just learned from him. This is what you do. Now here at Focus Church, we make it a point to show that everyone can pray. We point out that prayer is simply a conversation with God. That you're supposed to use your own words, not someone else's words. I'll just give you fair warning. If you go out to eat with our family, you're probably going to get put on the spot to pray. Because just because the pastor's at the table doesn't mean he's the only one who can pray. That anyone can pray. When we have our prayer service once a month, it's held on the first Wednesday of the month. That's why we call it First Wednesday. So we can all remember, when is that prayer service? Oh, First Wednesday. Yes. 6:45. Coming up soon. When it comes to First Wednesday, we don't just have the pastors pray. We ask people who are in the family to pray. And I have to tell you that some of the best prayers that have been prayed from this stage during our First Wednesday service are from people who don't use eloquent words, who make it real. I mean, one time someone accidentally cussed in their prayer. But they were using their language, talking to God. But it's a conversation with God. Now, we were talking about how Luke recorded how Jesus taught about prayer, but Matthew also records this as well. And in Matthew chapter 6, there's an extra thing that Matthew wrote down that Jesus said that day when he was talking about prayer. I want you to listen to what it says. It says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So it's not about repetition or reciting something that we have learned or memorized. That's not a prayer. A prayer is just simply what we say to God. Just like talking to mom on the phone. So the next time you're on your phone with mom, you dial her up or you click that favorite button or that recent call button, she answers. Maybe your conversation might go something like this.
Please hold. This conversation could be recorded for training purposes. Hello, mother. Mommy. Mom. Mother. How are you? Mother. Mom. Mommy. I love you. Mother. Mommy. Mom. I'm doing good. Mother. Mommy. Mom. Is that how you're going to talk to mom next time? No. Although next time you talk to mom, you're going to be tempted to, right? Because that'd be really funny. But no, the next time you're talking to mom and you're having a conversation with mom and you're talking about the things that she cares about and you're talking about the things you care about and you recognize that you're not just saying her name over and over and over and all the different variations of her name, you're just talking to her, I want you to think about that this is how it's supposed to be with my conversations with God. That I'm supposed to talk to him just like I talk to my mom, about the things he cares about and the things I care about. See, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Talk to God about it. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. See, this is what prayer is supposed to be like. So, is there a correct way to pray, and is it possible to learn how to do it? The answer is yes, there is. We just learned it. Jesus himself taught it. And here's what he said. Use my model when it comes to the content. Don't stop praying. Be persistent. Don't give up. Pray with confidence in the person who you're praying to. He already knows what you need. Be yourself. With that, we're going to take a moment to talk to God. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's have a conversation with him. God, we're just in awe right now, just how easy you made it sound as to how we should talk to you and what we should say and what we shouldn't do and what we should and how we shouldn't give up, and even that we should have confidence in you, that we should be ourselves. God, I pray that we are able to take what you have shared in your word today and that it would change us, that we would approach prayer differently, that we'd even take the next conversation we have with our mom and have it influence how we talk to you. You're there for us. And you care for us. You hear our prayers. You answer our prayers. And we thank you for that. But God, I'm praying for each person who's here and each person who's even watching online. God, I pray that our prayer game changes because of what you taught and how you want it. Help us, God, to do it differently the way you taught. In Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago, I said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope at the end, and here we are. God loves you so much. You may be watching today. You may be in this room today, and you're trying to figure out, why am I even here? You've been searching for something, and nothing has satisfied. You need something, and yet there's nothing you can do to fix it. You see, we were designed to be in relationship with God. But there's a problem. There's a problem with our sin. The fact that we are human beings, descendants of Adam and Eve with the original sin. This means that we're destined for eternal punishment, torment, and damnation. Unless something else happens. Something we can't do on ourselves. We can't earn our forgiveness. We can't earn our freedom from sin. But the Bible says that God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price, to take on our punishment, our sin, on him who was without sin, so that we can be forgiven and set free. But it doesn't happen automatically. This is a gift for you and me, but we've got to open it. There's something we got to do. Let me say, Pastor, what do I have to do to receive this hope you're talking about that's found in Jesus? Well, it's a two-part process, so the Bible says. First, you have to have a conversation with God. We've been talking about this conversation piece, prayer. You got to talk to God, and in that prayer, you got to recognize you're not worthy. You got to be sorry. And you got to put God as the leader of your life and say, God, I want you to be the boss of me. But then secondly, you're not meant to follow Jesus alone. You're meant to follow him with others. And it's important to go public with that conversation, that decision you made to make Jesus the leader of your life. And the way we do that is we get water baptized. You see, everyone who watches us get baptized can see that we're representing through water by going under and coming up and saying, hey, the old me is dead and it's buried. The new me is now here. I follow Jesus. We've been so excited to celebrate with quite a few people this past month who said yes to God and showed it to us through water baptism. But right now, this morning, we're focusing on that first part, that conversation, that prayer we have with God. I want to help you with that here today. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to encourage you to repeat it after me out loud as well. The Bible says that it's with our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth by saying it out loud that we say, God, you're in charge. You're the Lord. You're my leader. But don't worry, you're not praying alone here today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. You see, no one prays alone at Focus Church, because this is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, how about we pray right now? Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.